Chapter 31. But Kaiser, although he had not as yet discovered their measures, yet, both from what had occurred to his ships and from the circumstance that they had neglected to give the promised hostages, suspected that the thing would come to pass which really did happen. He therefore provided remedies against all contingencies, for he daily conveyed corn from the country parts into the camp, used the timber and brass of such ships as were most seriously damaged for repairing the rest, and ordered whatever things besides were necessary for this object to be brought to him from the continent. And thus, since that of business was executed by the soldiers with the greatest energy, he effected that after the loss of 12 ships, a voyage could be made well enough in the rest. Chapter 32. While these things are being transacted, one legion had been sent to forage, according to custom, and no suspicion of war had arisen as yet, and some of the people remained in the country parts. Others went backwards and forwards to the camp. They who were on duty at the gates of the camp reported to Kaiser that a greater dust than was usual was seen in that direction in which the legion had marched. Kaiser, suspecting that which was really the case, that some new enterprise was undertaken by the barbarians, ordered the two cohorts which were on duty to march into that quarter with him, and two other cohorts to relieve them on duty, the rest to be armed and follow him immediately. When he had advanced by some little way from the camp, he saw that his men were overpowered by the enemy and scarcely able to stand their ground, and that the legion being crowded together, weapons were being cast on them from all sides. For as all the corn was reaped in every part with the exception of one, the enemy, suspecting that our men would repair to that, had concealed themselves in the woods during the night. Then, attacking them suddenly, scattered as they were, and when they had laid aside their arms and were engaged in reaping, they killed a great number, threw the rest into confusion, and surrounded them with their cavalry and chariots. Chapter 33. Their mode of fighting with their chariots is this. Firstly, they drive about in all directions and throw their weapons and generally break the ranks of the enemy with the very dread of their horses and the noise of their wheels. And when they have worked themselves in between the troops of horse, leap from their chariots and engage on foot. The charioteers, in the meantime, withdraw some little distance from the battle, and so place themselves with the chariots, that if their masters are overpowered by the number of the enemy, they may have a ready retreat to their own troops. Thus, they display in battle the speed of horse, together with the firmness of infantry, and by daily practice and exercise attain to such expertness that they are accustomed, even on a declining and steep place, to check their horses at full speed, and manage and turn them in an instant, and run along the pole, and stand on the yoke, and thence betake themselves with the greatest celerity to their chariots again. Chapter 34. Under these circumstances, our men being dismayed by the novelty of this mode of battle, Kaiser most seasonably brought assistance, for upon his arrival the enemy paused, and our men recovered from their fear, upon which, thinking the time unfavorable for provoking the enemy and coming to an action, he kept himself in his own quarter, and, a short time having intervened, drew back the legions into the camp. While these things were going on, and all our men engaged, the rest of the Britons, who were in the fields, departed. Storms then set in for several successive days, which both confined our men to camp and hindered the enemy from attacking us. In the meantime, the barbarians dispatched messengers to all parts and reported to their people the small number of our soldiers, and how good an opportunity was given for obtaining spoil and for liberating themselves forever, if they should only drive the Romans from their camp. Having by these means speedily got together a large force of infantry and of cavalry, they came up to the camp. Chapter 35. Although Kaiser anticipated that the same thing which had happened on former occasions would then occur, that if the enemy were routed, they would escape from danger by their speed, still, having got about 30 horse, which Commius the Atrebatian, of whom mention has been made, had brought over with him from Gaul, he drew up the legions in order of battle before the camp. When the action commenced, the enemy were unable to sustain the attack of our men long, and turned their backs. Our men pursued them as far as their speed and strength permitted, and slew a great number of them. Then, having destroyed and burnt everything far and wide, they retreated to their camp. Chapter 36. The same day, ambassadors sent by the enemy came to Kaiser to negotiate a peace. Kaiser doubled the number of hostages which he had before demanded, and ordered that they should be brought over to the continent, because since the time of the equinox was near, he did not consider that with his ships out of repair, the voyage ought to be deferred till winter. Having met with favorable weather, he set sail a little after midnight, and all his fleet arrived safe at the continent, except two of the ships of burden which could not make the same port which the other ships did, and were carried a little lower down. Chapter 37. When our soldiers, about 300 in number, had been drawn out of those two ships, and were marching to the camp, the Morini, whom Kaiser, when setting forth for Britain, had left in a state of peace, excited by the hope of spoil, at first surrounded them with a small number of men, and ordered them to lay down their arms, if they did not wish to be slain. Afterwards, however, when they, forming a circle, stood on their defense, a shout was raised, and about 6,000 of the enemy soon assembled, which, being reported, Kaiser sent all the cavalry in the camp as a relief to his men. In the meantime, our soldiers sustained the attack of the enemy, and fought most valiantly for more than 4 hours, and, receiving but few wounds themselves, slew several of them. But, after our cavalry came in sight, the enemy, throwing away their arms, turned their back, and a great number of them were killed. Chapter 38. The day following, Kaiser sent Labienus, his lieutenant, with those legions which he had brought back from Britain, against the Morini, who had revolted, who, as they had no place to which they might retreat on account of the drying up of their marshes, which they had availed themselves of a place of refuge the preceding year, almost all fell into the power of Labienus. In the meantime, Kaiser's lieutenants, Q. Titurius and L. Cotta, who have led the legions into the territories of the Menapi, having laid waste all their lands, cut down their corn, and burned their houses, returned to Kaiser, because the Menapi had all concealed themselves in their thickest woods. Kaiser fixed the winter quarters of all the legions amongst the Belgae. Thither only two British states sent hostages. The rest omitted to do so. For these successes, a thanksgiving of 20 days was decreed by the Senate upon receiving Kaiser's letter.